This weekend, we're beginning a new message homily series on becoming a disciple. And all of us are here because we want to follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's who a disciple is someone who chooses to follow Christ with their lives. But it can often be hard for us to kind of evaluate how we're doing in our discipleship journey. How are we growing as a faithful follower of Christ? And so here at St. Albert the Great, we're going to be using what's called an acrostic called Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T. Since if the idea is that we want to be disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, we can use Christ to help us to remember six special areas that can help us along our discipleship journey in following Christ. And so this weekend, we're reflecting on the first of those letters in that Christ acrostic called community. So the C in Christ is for community. But community in a particular way, community in small faith-sharing groups. If someone wants to be a disciple, to be a follower of Christ, they need community. That is essential in following Christ as community, but especially community in faith-sharing groups, small faith-sharing groups. What is a small faith-sharing group? It's when a group of individuals, usually around 8 to 10 people, although it could be as many as 12 or as few as 6, get together on a regular basis, whether the frequency is monthly or weekly, and they share about what Christ is doing in their life. They help to encourage, maybe to challenge, to pray for each other, sometimes studying different material that helps them to come to know Christ better. But in those small faith-sharing groups is especially where we can find a lot of growth in being a disciple of Christ and where we're strengthened to be part of the whole. So it's so important for us to be part of community in a small faith-sharing group. Now, whenever you have community, in addition to being able to grow closer to God, there also is something else that can happen in community, and that's conflict. Conflict is something natural with other human beings because of the presence of sin in the world. There are ways that we sometimes can misunderstand each other, wires get crossed, we don't always hear each other correctly, and there are ways that sometimes we just don't see eye to eye with other people. Our Lord knew that we would have challenges of conflict, especially in being in community with others, and so that's why he gave us what I call the steps to conflict resolution in today's gospel. So we're going to break it down. The first step in conflict resolution, Jesus said to his disciples, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him, and here's the kicker, alone. Between you and him alone. Oftentimes, whenever we have conflict with someone, we immediately start to send text messages to people, do you know what so-and-so did, da-da-da-da-da, or call someone, or talk to someone, etc. That's called gossip, by the way. And sometimes people will tell me, Father Charlie, this happened, etc. And they're surprised with my response is, well, have you talked to so-and-so about what happened? And usually the answer is no. There is a temptation that when we have conflict with someone, we skip step one that our Lord gives us. We don't go to them and talk to them one-on-one first. We should always try that first. And if we try that and it doesn't resolve the conflict, then we go to step two that our Lord gives us. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. So the second stage of conflict resolution is having a mediator, a third party, someone else present that's not directly involved with that conflict. That person helps to mediate the conflict, bring about a resolution. And we need that third party sometimes, especially when we're having a hard time communicating or understanding someone. so helpful in those moments to have that third party to help us in those particular moments. But if even that doesn't de-escalate the conflict, we have stage three. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. So step three is talk to Father Charlie or talk to Deacon Fuch. So this is a surprise to me when I became a priest. I never thought that I would be asked to do so much conflict resolution. I've been asked to do a ton of mediation over my 13 plus years as a priest. Sometimes it's couples that are having challenges and conflicts, and they'll ask me to mediate those conflicts. Sometimes it's between parents and a child. Sometimes the parent wants me to exorcise their child of the demon that's possessing them in that particular moment. Only half joking in that moment. But whatever it might be, it's something that oftentimes I'm asked, because there's a way of recognizing that when we've tried to talk to someone one-on-one or bringing in that third party, sometimes we need a representative of the church to help in that. But please remember, that's step three, not step one. So we should always follow through the steps before going to that stage. But sometimes even that doesn't cause a resolution of the conflict. So then we get the fourth. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Unfortunately, some conflicts just won't get resolved. We can follow through these stages and it still won't be resolved. Our Lord says at that point we need to let go. But please know, when we let go of those kind of conflicts, letting go doesn't mean that we're still bitter and resentful about what happened. Letting go is really letting go, because then there's a peace that happens. Even if we'll never see eye to eye with that person or be in complete agreement with that person, we can still have that way of surrendering and letting that situation, that conflict, go to God rather than holding on to it and carrying it around with us. Conflict doesn't have to destroy community, but it can do so if we don't follow these steps and if ultimately we don't invite God in. Because what we always have to remember is who unites us is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I can't tell you how many times when I'm doing conflict resolution, whether it's couples, families, ministries, whatever situation, where it seems like we're getting absolutely nowhere, and I'm hearing the volleys go back and forth, okay? And sometimes people even start to get heated in my office, and I'm like, time out. And sometimes literally I do that, okay? And in that time out, I like to invite in the Holy Spirit. And I'll say, can we invite the Holy Spirit in? Can we ask the Holy Spirit to help us in this moment? And here's why this is so important. Amen, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. If we can just invite Jesus into the midst of our conflict, Christ will start to unite us and help us to resolve what we're unable to resolve ourselves. Christ is the one who allows us as human beings to truly live in community, in union with one another. Christ wants to help us. And here's the fun part of this. Even if we don't agree with someone, if we can at least agree on the importance of praying together and inviting Christ into the disagreement that's happening, then we've met that condition that we just heard in this gospel passage. The two agree not on how to resolve the conflict, but they agree to invite Jesus into the conflict. And just by doing that, Christ will start to transform things. That's all the opening that is needed in that moment. But sometimes we forget to do that, and we forget how Christ is the one that unites us. If you look at the gospel accounts of the disciples, of Jesus' followers, and the Acts of the Apostles, you find conflict all over the place, okay? But the way that they resolve that conflict is by going through these steps that Jesus gave them and by praying together with each other. In small faith-sharing groups, this is one of the most important concepts, prayer together. We need that time of prayer. I myself belong to a group of my brother priests that we get together on a monthly basis, and we have a time of sharing. We share vulnerably, deeply, with what's going on in our prayer lives, with our ministry as priests, and we have prayer petitions where we invite prayer in, especially if there's a struggle or difficulty or something that we're really wrestling with at that moment. And we also have a time of praying together. We celebrate Mass together, and we share a meal together as well. I look forward to those times with my brother priests. It's a great blessing to me. And in all honesty, I believe that it's one of the reasons why I've remained a priest for 13 years, because there have been people I know who haven't remained. You see, to follow Christ and to be a disciple, there are moments when the other guy, the evil one, Satan, messes with us, and where we get smacked around by the evil one and his lies. I love being a priest, and it's a great joy, but there have been days and moments when it's been very hard, where, for whatever reason, the evil one is really mucking with me, as I like to say. And in those moments, I need community. I need my priest group. Oftentimes, we'll send messages to each other in those moments. We'll give prayer requests to each other, and we'll just be honest with each other. We'll say, literally, we'll set up an SOS and say on our little group chat that we have, and say, I'm having a real hard time right now. This thing's going on, this struggle's going on, etc. And we rally around that brother in that moment to support them, because the evil one hates community. When you look at what Satan's primary strategy was in Genesis, he sought to separate community. He sought to separate Adam and Eve from God through original sin, to destroy that connection of community that existed between Adam, Eve, and God. And he went further, seeking to destroy the community between Adam and Eve themselves. And when we see the history of sin, as more sins, more grave sins, especially when murder entered in, over and over again, sin separates, divides, destroys community. But what grace does is it unites. It brings together. It helps us to be able to resist the temptations and lies of the enemy. Please know, if you ever start to feel separated, you feel alone, you feel isolated, that's not the Holy Spirit speaking to you. That's the evil spirit, because that's Satan's primary strategy. He knows if we can be isolated and separated off, we can be easy pickings for him. But if we remain together in a community with that support structure, especially through small faith sharing groups, it's very hard to get at us, because one or other of our community will rally around us in those moments to help us through that particular tough time. If there's anyone here that's feeling isolated, please join a small faith-sharing group. I promise you, it will change everything. It will transform your relationship with God. It will help you to reach new levels in your discipleship journey with God. That's why after Mass today, we have various small faith-sharing groups. And they so want you to be part of their community that they've been outside throughout this heat all day long, because that's how much they want people to know. We want you to be part of our community, to know that you're not alone and that you will have people who will love you, rally around you, and pray with you in any of those difficult moments. So as we reflect this weekend on the importance of following Christ as disciples and the acrostic of Christ, let us remember that C stands for community, specifically a community that gathers in small faith-sharing groups. And reflect, if heaven is where we have an opportunity to be united with Christ forever and with those who have chosen to follow Christ, a small faith-sharing group is like a taste of heaven. It's an opportunity to get an inkling of what kind of support, of what kind of love, of what kind of unity can happen when we truly allow Christ to unite us by praying together, by sharing vulnerably, and by realizing it's in community that we find that place of belonging, that we no longer feel isolated, that we know we are one with those who seek to follow Christ also in their lives.